Welcome to Technology Rocks.
Hey, this is Justin with Technology Rocks, and with Colin Antoni is, no, he is not stuck in a box with a megaphone. We have had to modify today's cast, mainly because of the Ironman triathlete Hades that has been created in the Woodlands, where we are blocked with this crazy... I don't know, what the heck do you want to call it, Tony?
I don't know, you're stuck like in the middle of a force field.
Yeah.
And I'm stuck on the outside of it.
Right, yeah, no, it's like this fitness force field that's literally trapped me in the Woodlands and keeps Tony out of the Woodlands. So unless we're both going north, there's really no way to get to the store without sitting in an insane amount of traffic because of this crazy race that's going on. People come from all over the country to train for this thing, and it immediately...
Yeah, everywhere yesterday.
Oh my goodness, yeah, no, just driving around the Woodlands throughout the week has been absolutely insane because traffic's being blocked off for people that are still... preparing for the race. Maybe we should have an Ironman on the show to see what the heck kind of crazy preparation.
You know Tony Stark?
Yeah, that would be Ironman. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, different kind of Ironman. So these crazy Looney Tunes literally... I think we were reading this the other day. It was 140.6... miles of swimming, biking, and walking, or not walking, running in a 16 and a half to 17 hour period. So all in one day, meaning you're jumping out of the water, jumping on your bike, riding another kabillion miles, and then finishing it off with a, I think it's a 25 mile run or something. So it's just, it's crazy. Yeah, no, but the whole city goes...
It's not like a good time at all.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, I've worked cheer stations for this before, just with music and stuff like that, and working with Motive, and we haven't done it in a long time. And it is a fun event if you're into that, but if you're not into that, then you just basically load up on beverages and food and watch your swimming pool and grass grow because you're literally not going anywhere. So, T-Bone, do you have any local news? Anything changed in your world with the Comic Palooza?
Not as of right now, no. It seems to be... You know, there hasn't been any more major announcements like there was last week with Michael J. Fox. I think they blew their big announcement with that one.
Yeah, no, that's going to be... I know Tony and I had been looking at several of the pricing for that. And again... Some of these stars aren't going to be around forever. I know Michael J. Fox's health has been somewhat compromised, and I know Christopher Lloyd's getting up there, and then Tolkien's getting up there. So no, it's not the guy that wrote Lord of the Rings. Yeah, but I think the pricing is a lot based on, you know, how big of a celebrity they are, but, you know, and a lot of it has to do with the health stuff, the complications that Michael J. Fox is currently going through and has been going through since, heck, Doc Hollywood almost, I think, is when he found out that he had Parkinson's. So he's been living with this for a long time and done a lot of stuff on the foreground of trying to get a medical treatment for this stuff. Still no cure as of yet. But But yeah, he's not in the best of health, but the pricing seemed just absolutely insane. I was thinking it was going to be for all the celebrities, the pricing were going to be was going to be crazy, but it ended up being it's actually just for them, really, is where the pricing's going. For the rest of the pricing, I think it's pretty moderate. I know John Cena is going to be there. Rebecca Romijn's going to be there. A few of the others. Pardon my dogs. There's zero way to keep them quiet for longer than like 5 seconds. So you may hear them barking off and on. Yeah, exactly. Do you know what the Sapphire stage is at all? Or
I still have not gotten any information on that, and there's nothing on the website that tells what those stages are yet.
So. Okay. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll be right next to the stage where we're going to see all that fun stuff and be around all that fun stuff. I don't know. It seems like a good time. This is actually my very first. I've never been to a comic event like that, so this will actually be my very first event going to something like this or doing something like this. I mean, I've been to car shows and things like that, but I've never been to something that was just dedicated to comics and art and movies and all that fun stuff. So
I think you're really going to dig it, man. It's definitely an experience if you've never gone to it. You know, you get to see people in all kinds of cool cosplay, everything from the store-bought to stuff that people have made, and you look at it and you're just like, wow, you made that? And then, you know, there's others that you'll look and say, wow, you made that.
Yeah, no, and I know isn't Robert Engel going to be there too?
I believe so.
Now, you've met him before, though, correct?
Yes. The man that plays Freddy, dude, that guy is so awesome. In fact, when I was having him sign a picture, when I paid for my autograph and all of that, and I was standing there and handing the picture, and he was like, oh, this is a good one. And he was like, you want to hear a story about this picture? And he told me, like, the whole thing. And to make a long story short, the guy that took the picture did something to piss off the director, and he got forced off of the set. He was not allowed on the set any longer.
Really? Oh, so you kind of have a different picture. So you gonna go try to meet him as well, or what are you gonna try to do there?
I want to see if I can get him to sign my studio replica Freddy Krueger glove. I think that would be really cool to have on it.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be really cool. What I found interesting is a lot of those signage stuff, I didn't realize that they were cracking down on what you can and can't bring. Like, there was one where I was reading on the Back to the Future Experience, or I think that's what it's called. That was the one for $9.99. It says in every way, shape, and form, no, specifically, no Nike shoes. Like, no Nike shoe. Tilly, her squeaky toy. No Nike shoes in the background. I wonder what the story is behind that, because I know they came out with that special edition Back to the Future Nike shoe that's worth like a kabillion dollars.
But it looks just like the ones he wore in the movie Back to the Future 2.
Right, but I wonder why it specifically says zero Nike shoes. Maybe he has some sort of agreement under the table with Nike that he's not allowed to sign anything, because it says no shoes, no Nike shoes is what it says. So yeah, no, I thought that was interesting. It was brand specific, but maybe he has something, a contractual obligation.
Well, remember, he wore Nike shoes
throughout the whole movie.
Throughout the whole thing, not just in the second one with the automatic laces. He wore Nike shoes, period.
Yeah, he wore them in the first.
Except for when he wore the boots in the third one.
Well, but he had to change the boots, because if you remember in the very beginning, the bar scene of the third one. Yeah.
Look at them fancy moccasins. What is that? Knee K.
Yeah, no, he and Tony and I watch way too much Back to the Future. I would say Back to the Future is probably, if I were to name top 10 movies, even though, you know, you and I played this game before, maybe it's a good day to play this game, that if I were to say the top 10, and typically when it comes to series and trilogies, that does not take up three slots. You know, that's typically the rules with Tony and I, because if it's a series of movies, like for instance, you know, Fast and the Furious, there's like 15 million movies, right? So that would take up all 10 slots. But no, it's considered a franchise.
Not necessarily, because those aren't all good.
Oh, no, they're horrible. Yeah, no, they stopped being good. Well, heck, I don't think they were.
Three?
I don't think they were ever good. But yeah, no, they were. I have beefs with all of those movies, but from my racing, you know, race car days, but that's different.
The accuracy of the timelines doesn't make sense.
Well, it's not even the timeline. It's when they start talking about cars, which they should never
do. Oh, greedy shifting.
Yeah, double clutching, which you can't do that, you know. And I've always often wondered how many gears their cars actually have. Because I've been in real street races before, and
they're shifting like 30 times.
I mean, are they driving like Mack trucks where they have 15 to 20 gears? Or, I mean, what are you doing there? So, yeah, no. But very few times in an actual street race are you actually downshifting, upshift. You know, it's kind of dumb. But anyway, so Tony and I play this game where it's like top 10 movies. And I think it's safe to say that Back to the Future is easily on, which is very rare, because he and I's top 10, top 20 movie game changes quite a bit. But I would say that series of movies is easily on our top 10, both. And that's a rare thing, because his movie taste differentiates quite a bit from mine. But
dramatically. But that's because I watch more scary movies.
Right. But. Yeah, no. And so, but I would say Back to the Future holds kind of a very special place for us in both of our top, I would say, top 10 movies easily. Yeah, that would definitely be easily in my top 10 would be that series. But so I don't know. I don't know if I can still, I mean, I don't really have $1,000 to spend to justify it, but it would be an absolutely just amazing experience, because a lot of those actors probably won't be around for very much longer. So it'll be, I don't know. I don't know if I can coax myself into it or not. So it's just a lot. It's just a lot.
And that is just, as much as I would love to, I just can't justify it.
Well, it's just, those types of things are out of control anyway, expenditure wise, you know, and it's just, and I get why actors do it. I get why TV actors do it. You know, and why they're doing the comic paloozas and comic cons, because it's just, you know, you have 100 people in line, which you know there very well will be, you know, over 100 people in line that are spending $1,000 a piece. You know, that's a pretty good take, you know, minus the venue and, you know, stuff like that, fees I'm sure they have to do, or I don't know how that works. I don't know what the breakdown is.
Those guests get paid to be there.
Well, right, but are they making money off the tickets as well, or are they just getting a lump sum from the venue to be there? I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know for sure, but I'm sure there's probably a percent and percentages that are worked out on each sale and all of that, because, you know, of course, there's always going to, you know, the fee to be there as a guest, or that you get paid from the venue.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's always going to be the percentage also from there.
Yeah. Now, and keep in mind, if you're going to one of these events like Comic Palooza, you're not obligated to do any of those things. There's plenty of fun stuff and cool memorabilia and. In fact, a lot of times the celebrities will even be walking around the show in some cases, but it's one of those things that just kind of keep in mind that A lot of these artists kind of, what would you call it, like a tour? A lot of them kind of follow these events around to sell their, I mean, that's their livelihood, right? I mean, is that an accurate statement?
Well, yeah, because they're doing these comic book conventions all over, almost, you know, every weekend, because there's a big comic book convention going on somewhere in the United States every weekend, sometimes in multiple places.
Did you tour like that in your younger years? Were you going on tour like that on those, that like on that convention circuit, or were you ever available to do that?
I did around the Texas circuit for a little bit, and it's rough because I still have my day job at the garbage company and doing the comic book convention.
Well, and plus you've got an autistic kid too that you know, that's a full-time job as well, with all the stuff that you're doing for autism on the back end, you know, with your artwork and things like that. So yeah, you know, that's one of the things that Tony's does a lot with his artwork, is there's a portion of that stuff that he kind of donates, and he's very involved with a lot of that because of his front row response to all that stuff. So, but yeah, no, that's hard. I mean, I'm sure it became a lot harder when you know, your little one popped up. So that kind of puts it kind of changes the travel schedule a little bit. So,
yep.
For sure. So, yeah, so Comic Palooza 23rd, 24th,
25th,
and 26th. I mean, I was really good. I was really good at that in the very beginning, and now I'm getting confused on my dates. Yeah, so Memorial Day weekend this coming May, which May is just around the corner, so just make your plans. T-Bone and I will be there. He'll be signing artwork and drawing artwork and doing airbrush tattoos and buttons and all kinds of fun stuff. I will just be acting like the village idiot like I normally do and making sarcastic jokes and whatnot. You know, it'll be fun for me as well, just because, you know, who knows where the cartoon project may or may not lead, and maybe I'll be on a Comic Palooza thing, who knows. So it'll be even though I can't draw a thing, so that'll be fun. So Memorial Day weekend, if you do not have plans, this will be going down. What venue is that at, T-Bone?
That is at the George R. Brown Convention Center.
Oh, wow.
Right next to Minute Maid Park in downtown Houston.
So this is a huge show. George R. Brown is a big thing.
Yes, and this event takes up the entire building.
Wow. Okay. So kind of lay it down. Is it just people like you that are there, or is it they're just Matt? Is it a comic book show as well, where you can find like rare comic books and cards and stuff?
Yeah, there's vendors there that will be selling, you know, there'll be booths where it's like dollar comics, and they'll just have stacks and stacks and stacks of comics for a dollar, and you can, you know, buy as many as you want. They'll also have anime stuff. They'll have movies. You know, they'll have sculptures. You know, like the one that that our friend has.
So major things that are like, so we're so like basically them. So basically we're gonna be totally bored at this show. So
man, it is gonna be Central.
Yeah, so what?
Come nerd out with us.
Yeah, no, please, 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 because the hardest thing is going to be keeping me in one place because of my superpower known as ADHD, where my brain goes ping, ping, ping all the time, and I'm like, oh, what's this? Oh, what's this? Oh, what's this? But I have to stay in the booth, so that'll be the
hard. Yeah, because we have a daunting goal.
Yes. Yeah. No, we've got to make that goal. So T-Bone has this goal that basically is what we call the break even point. And then anything over the break even point, well, at least I didn't lose money and it was a lot of fun. So, and that's every trade, really. Every trade, you know, you kind of get into that as well. So leading into movie news. So Velma season 2 has already been released. There's actually a bunch of reviews about it. I'm struggling to make it through season one. I can see the controversy and the gradual divide is what I would say as far as audience reception. So it has not been a super popular show with HBO. And it's a very controversial show. It's a very controversial take on our beloved characters that Tony and I, actually the show was out before he and I were born, really. But we were watching reruns. So we were growing up on the reruns of the show in most cases, because I think the show started out in the late 70s, early 80s. Actually, no, it was probably early 70s because Casey Kasem was still the voice of Shaggy back then. But you got to remember, you know, growing up, most of the Looney Tunes and stuff like that were already, had already come and gone in their limelight. And we were watching reruns, you know, on Channel 20 growing up. So because most of these stories had already come and gone. And then a lot, by the time I was old enough to pay attention to cartoons like Scooby-Doo, a lot of those had became movies. You know, they made them into cartoon movies that were just one-off things that were...
Yeah, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles got turned into movies.
Right, exactly. Oh, well, yeah. No, those were... That's even weird. I do have some interesting movie turtle news or Ninja Turtle news. We're going kind of off the cuff because of our Iron Man crazy this weekend. So, however, Velma season two.
Be careful saying the I word. We don't want to end up having to owe them money.
True. Yeah. No. So, so the Velma season two out and released and ready to go for your consumption. I.
You know, I think I'm probably, since we are in an unconventional situation, and I think I might try to give that a try again.
I don't know, man. That so
first
here's
episode has such a abrupt start.
So here's where what I'll say. After the first episode, it's been a somewhat soft entry after that. So I think that was just
They just went and shot the crap out of you at the very beginning just to say, hey, let's see if you can handle this.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. I think toward the end of season one, there's like a childbirth scenario in there, and it's just, it's weird. It just, it's not the cartoon that I enjoy, but I'm trying to do a little bit of research on what's currently out there to be prepared for certain events and you know, whatever we're until we do the table read, we're not quite sure what direction we're going, whether it's adult or whether it's teen adult, or is it going to be stuck in the kids territory. So I'm trying, we're all trying to do a little bit of market research of what's out there, what's up and coming. It has not been greenlit for season three, though, because of how season two ends. So it's, they're trying to figure out where they would go with a season three because of the abrupt ending in season two. I won't spoil it, even though I already know what's going to happen because I read through it, because I have probably no desire to watch it, except I do know some of your beloved, more beloved Scooby-Doo characters are coming into season two. Not the obvious. You know, during this whole series, Shaggy and Scooby are missing on season one. And then season two, it's kind of the same thing. So there, it's kind of, here's the weird part. I need to go do a little bit more research. They may not be allowed to reference Scooby and Shaggy. You know, that's the thing, is they may not be, to me,
they may not be able to get a release on that.
You know what it sounds like? You know what this show reminds me of? It reminds me of Gotham. You know, when they couldn't talk about Batman and the Joker. They, you know, there was a Joker-like character in the Gotham series, but they could not call him Joker. You know what I mean? So it's, it reminds me a lot of that they're trying to make a series off of the sidekick type of characters. And what's the struggle bus is, it's hard to do that. You know what I mean?
It's hard to do that and not at least have the other characters at least pop up from time to time.
Yeah, no, and to revisit interest. And I think that's what they've done in season two. But again, the ending of season two stops so abruptly and has such a weird ending that it's kind of interesting how they do it. But you know, I just read through it. I don't know if I'm going to even get through season one, much less season two. So it's hard. It's a hard watch for me, you know, because I was a giant Scooby-Doo fan. So I don't know. I did make it past the dreaded first episode and fallen asleep through most of the series, but still kind of know what's going on. But it's very, I don't know what I would even classify it in. It's just very... I don't know. I think it's too adult for me. You know, I think it's just too weird because I wasn't that type of cartoon wasn't out when you and I were younger, you know, and the closest thing that we had to that was, I would say, heavy metal, you know, like the heavy metal cartoon, which was a movie, not a cartoon
And also like Fire and Ice.
Yeah, things like that. I mean, that stuff was around and available, but it was very... it was somewhat abrupt. I can see why it's not well received for either audience, just because of it's just weird. It's kind of like if you made a cartoon. It's kind of like if you made a Marilyn Manson album into a cartoon. You know, it's just very about shock factor and not a necessarily good story or, you know, good storyline. So anyway, but Velma season two is out. Don't know if they're going to be greenlit for a season three. We do know, Tony, for our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans that are out there, that they're actually coming out with a cartoon, a dedicated cartoon on Paramount Plus. So Paramount Plus has the rights to this cartoon. And I'm guessing the New Line Cinema was a division of Paramount, because most of that stuff was all in New Line, related to New Line. If you're a fan of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles lore, you can actually go into Paramount Plus, and all of even the OG cartoons are on Paramount Plus now, along with the movies, the cinematic live action movies, and then the one-off really bad live remakes of the live action movie. And the new one, Mutant Mayhem. Did you watch Mutant Mayhem at all?
No, I don't know. I
was kind of turned off by it. There was too many weird changes that were not comic accurate that I just did not enjoy the path they were taking the cartoon in. So I did not give it a chance. It was received and reviewed very well, but I did not like the direction they took, especially the character, April O'Neil. They really changed her heritage and lore of the character, and I just did not enjoy it because she was really the adult of the movie.
Yeah.
And she was supposed to be the one that kind of helped the teenagers, you know, not, you know, kind of raised them in a way, along with, you know, the Splinter character. But they didn't really take that lore. They made her more of a kid, what it looks like more of a kid in the newer series, and it's kind of weird, you know. It wasn't a take that I enjoyed. But there's going to be a cartoon version coming out. They're doing a cartoon version, and so that's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. But it will be released this coming year at some point. There hasn't been a whole lot of it's supposed to be a newer animation style, even different from the Mutant Mayhem movie. So pretty much more like a Nickelodeon style just light on the artwork, light sketches, so they can get it out there. The same voicing is involved that was involved with the movie is going to be doing the voices for the animated characters for the series. Season one and season two are already in the can. They're just doing post-production work on the show. So that'll be interesting. I don't know if I can be excited about it or not. I did watch the trailer. It was pretty interesting. The other fun thing in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle lore news is that The Last Ronin has been greenlit for a rated R live action. I'm not sure. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, if you think back in the day, The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren was a rated R movie.
Yeah, no, it was. Well, if you're a fan of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comics, the comics were way different than the cartoon that was aired originally when we were kids. I mean, the comics were dark and gritty and bloody and, you know, so The Last Ronin was basically an ending of those comics that came out when Tony and I were younger and that never really got a spin in the cinematic world. The closest thing to it would have been that there was a movie. You may not even have seen this movie. I'm sure you know about it because it was huge in the art community because it was just very well done. But there was a movie released called TMNT back in the 2000s. Did you see that movie, or did you see the art from that movie? It was just beautiful. That was a
The artwork is awesome.
Yeah,
I didn't watch the movie.
That it's a good. You should go watch it. It's actually a really good movie. But that's really the only taste of the movie of that series that pays homage to the comic book in an accurate way. You know, they even struggled with it in the live action movie because they couldn't show blood and guts and things like that. And it's really hard to do when you have a character named the Shredder, you know, so,
right.
You know, but yeah, no, it's like having a PG Wolverine movie. It just doesn't work when you have a guy with, you know, 2 foot claws on his hands and then show it not showing blood in any way, shape or form. So it's just, it's kind of strange, but that's coming out. The Last Ronin video game, which is going to be a PS5 exclusive release, I believe, is coming out, and they're going to release a trailer of the video game within the next few weeks. So where you'll get to replay the Last Ronin comic book. So that'll be, I'm not going to be eager to see my beloved Ninja Turtles get killed. You know, I think that's where I'm at, you know, with it, you know. You have a little bit of a darker world than I do, so perspective on things, on art and artistry and things like that than I do. But I don't know, man. It's like, it was kind of like me with Logan. It's like, congratulations, you made a Wolverine movie that we all wanted to see, but we didn't want to see him die. You know what I mean? So
right.
That's kind of the way I feel about the Ninja Turtles scenario, but who knows? I may feel different when it comes out, but it's still very sticky tack. Won't come out until 2027, most likely, or 2026, most likely. But it is in the works, and it is greenlit by Paramount Studio. So that'll be super interesting. Again, we cannot talk about movie news without talking about Deadpool Wolverine. That's going to. I really do think, even though Joker is going to be a big movie, I think here's my prediction for that. Well, I think Joker is going to win, for sure. I think Joker is going to win on the box office, but the reason why, it's because the Joker took way less money to produce, just like the first Joker, and that's why it came out a win. You know, I think the original Joker was like a $2 million budget, and it made over $100 million, so in Hollywood world, that's why it really was a win. you know, because it was so easy to shoot, so cheap to shoot, and then it just blew the box office door open. I know Joker number two has a much larger budget, and then leading with Joaquin Phoenix and now Lady Gaga, anything that Lady Gaga touches artistry-wise is pretty much, you're guaranteed to shake up the market because she's a controversial character anyway. I think she'll knock it out of the park with, even though I love Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, I think Lady Gaga will just totally knock this out of the park because basically it is her in real life. You know what I mean? So I think that's a good one. But we cannot go into it without talking about Deadpool Wolverine. You know, to me, Deadpool Wolverine is going to be such a huge phenomenon because I've read a few. I'm trying to read things about it without it ruining the movie, which is really hard to do. Because everybody wants to talk about, oh, you know, this is confirmed and that's confirmed and this is confirmed. So we have to be very careful for those that are kind of going into it blind.
We don't want to be spoilers.
No, not at all. Even though the trailer, if you've seen the trailer, there's a lot of, it's supposed to ignore Logan and be in a different timeline. We're not quite sure if it's the X-Men Days of Future Past timeline. Here, my gut on the movie is, if you saw, did you see Deadpool 2?
Yes.
Okay, so you remember in Deadpool 2, at the very end, he steals Cable's time travel gizmo and goes and course corrects a lot of things. So this movie's supposed to take place right after that event, and where the time police comes along and basically says, hey, you screwed up the whole world and we got to put you in a timeout, so to speak. And I think that's where he and Logan kind of run across each other. So, because it's supposed to be pretty interesting. That's about as much as I know-ish about it. That's kind of speculation on it. There's a lot of interesting characters in this movie that come from the whole X-Men universe and even Marvel universe in general, and then the Avengers universe. So there's a lot of, like, Pyro from the original X-Men that just kind of got a lame ending, I think, in X-Men The Last Stand. He's been spotted in the trailer of this movie. So there's a lot of weird, interesting tie-ins with this. So we're not sure what circa or what Earth. If you're familiar with comic book lore, you'll have Earth 616 or Earth 816 or Earth whatever, where you can have multiverse timelines of the same characters, and that's why it all makes sense. The Spider-Man movie with the multiple Spider-Mans kind of touched on that a little bit, on those timelines. So,
isn't this all stuff that Doc Brown warned us about?
Yes, this is, yeah, tying into Back to the Future once again. This is, you can't play with the past. Yeah, you can't go in there and change the past, because if you do, it causes catastrophic things. And I think that's what the whole premise of the new Deadpool movie is going to be, is that he screwed up everybody's timeline by going and basically killing himself, killing Ryan Reynolds, killing, you know, talking to Wolverine in that timeline as himself. You know, if you go watch the ending of Deadpool 2, he screwed up everything in that lore of that timeline. And I think that's the premise of the movie. There's supposed to be some tie, if you go watch Loki, the TV series, which I haven't. I've watched several episodes, but the Marvel stuff of that era was so bad, it was hard for me to get through it. But if you go watch Loki, Loki kind of explains this with variants of himself, and there's multiple versions of yourself in this multiverse. And so I, But Eugene Levy, or not, sorry, not Eugene Levy, Sean Levy has basically come out and said, you do not need to go bone up on your X-Men or Marvel lore. This will be a fun movie for everybody. But if you want to, it'll make a whole lot of more, whole lot more sense to you with what's going on. And then he did talk a little bit about Loki and a few of the other variants that will allegedly have cameos and will pop up in this particular show. So yeah, so I'm pumped for it. You know, as we're coming into July, actually coming into June, but it's a July 27th release. It's going to be the biggest box office movie if it isn't beaten out by the Joker. I would say these two movies are going to be just absolutely giant for the DC universe and the Marvel universe. So it should be pretty cool, I think.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, no,
they're going to be heavy hitters for sure.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun. You know, again, you can't really, if you're going to Screen Rant or ComingSoon.net or Comic or CinemaMovie.net, you know, all these different websites and things like that to kind of get your in-depth detail, you're not going to go to any one of these websites without seeing Deadpool Wolverine. I mean, it's everywhere. It's going to be the big smash and everything else. So I think that's really about it for our weekend cast, unless you have something fun that you read about in any way, shape, and form.
No, I've just really been, you know, focusing on getting ready for Comic-Palooza.
So you said that there's a Freddy series coming. Is that out yet, or is it? I think we talked about it's Halloween,
it's
not right? Out yet.
It's called Fred, and it's by Rob Zombie.
Okay.
So, from what I've seen in the past with Mr. Zombie's movies,
yeah,
is that he does really well at taking a whole bunch of scenes from older horror films and mashing them together into a single story.
All right. So here's what I'll say about the trying to forget what was called the Munster movie I think 2 years ago. I'm going to speculate. Let's just see how you weigh in. I think Zombie is such a huge fan of the genre that when he does a movie, he goes all in. Like he goes into the he goes into the
history. Back in the day when MTV had Cribs, they went to his house and he has a whole vault. A whole room,
right,
dedicated to movies, horror movies, and everything from the top budget ones to really weird B underground movies.
So, do you think his movies are just misunderstood because he's getting into the grease and nuts and bolts of some of these subject matters that most people, they just don't catch on of what he's trying to do because he kind of goes into, hey, this is what this celebrity drank before they went on set. You know, that type of thing that only certain like mega super fans would pick up on, which is why normal people look at
people that would truly dig his movies are people that can sit there and look and say, oh, that is from this movie, and like look at his movies as like an Easter egg hunt.
So here's what I'll say, and you may find this shocking. I didn't mind his version of Halloween. I thought it was really well done. I thought it was,
except for the second one. The second one was like, how many times can I fit the F word into one movie?
I didn't
in the first 5 minutes.
I didn't see the second one. I didn't know the premise of the second, and that was a Rob Zombie film, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't see the second. Why was it? Did you watch it all the way through?
I didn't watch it all the way way through, but I just didn't get into it because, like, it was just how much blood and gore can I put into a movie?
Is that the one? That's the one where he escapes from the asylum again, right? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I loved the first one.
So I remember watching.
I actually hung out with Tyler Mane, the man that played Michael Myers in that movie. And
is he a big dude?
I'll have to show you the picture. He literally towers above me. He's probably a good foot and a half taller than
so
I am.
So he's just a monster of a human. Yeah, no.
Yeah, but he's like super cool guy though.
So going into that, I think I remember seeing the very first of the second one because I think doesn't he pick up a security guard and slams his head into the wall or something weird in the very beginning of it?
I think so.
I think I fell asleep through it. I don't think I ever went back to go revisit it. I didn't mind the first. I saw the first one in theaters. I didn't mind the first movie at all. The second movie I didn't bother seeing, but I think that would be the only movie in his catalog besides The Devil's Rejects that I actually enjoy. I did not like House of a Thousand Corpses. I liked Devil's Rejects. I didn't like The Devil's Rejects movie Revisited, which was the part two of Devil's Rejects. I don't know if you saw that one.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one. I've seen Three from Hell.
Three from Hell is the part two from Devil's Rejects, correct? Or was that a prequel of Devil's Rejects?
No, it was after, because it was the very beginning of the movie picks up
where they get
right
shot.
Right after the police force had rushed them to the hospital.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I remember, and it took place mostly in Mexico, if I remember right. So,
yeah, they ran to a sanctuary city, and then that's where everything goes awry.
Yeah. No, I remember not liking that one as much as Devil's Rejects. And then there was another one that he made after that that didn't involve Devil's Rejects. It was
23.
I think it was 23, right? Where they get trapped in a haunted house or something, or
was 23. And basically I think the 23, they had so long that they had to endure being in this place and survive, and then if they did, then they get let go.
Right. Yeah. No. I think I was kind of turned.
It's a harder watch. It's got I can't remember his name, but the guy who was in A Clockwork Orange, and also was in Tank Girl. I can't remember his name, but he was in that. He played a. Introducer of, you know, what was to happen that night.
So I think the reason why he hasn't revisited, besides the obvious ending of Three from Hell, he hasn't revisited that series is because the guy that played the clown, or wore the clown makeup, I think it was Captain Spaulding. I think the actor died of cancer.
He did.
Yeah, in fact, he even had cancer during the movie because you can tell he looked drastically different than he did.
Yes, in fact, in Three from Hell, he actually wasn't even in. He wasn't even in very much of that movie. He was like in the beginning. And then, if people haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it for them, but there's a reason why.
There's a tribute to him. Yeah, he died in the middle of filming, I think. And I think that's why he hasn't revisited it.
They worked it well in the movie, into the storyline of him passing.
Right. Yeah. Now, No, it's interesting. It's just, he's an interesting director. I appreciate his artistry. I've always loved his music, for sure.
His movies are very grungy, just like his music style.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Yeah, and that's where I'll take that, because he's, I love his music. I've always loved him as an artist. I think,
oh yeah, back when White Zombie came out, I was like, oh, this is awesome.
I think his filmography is very misunderstood, because I think he dives into the nuts and bolts of a character that most people don't realize that he's jumping into, for that very reason, and they don't understand a lot of it. And I think that's very misunderstood. But The Munsters was a bad movie, regardless of what he was trying to do. It was just so bad. It was so bad. I would be interested to seeing him do like an Addams Family or something like that, where you know it's going to be weird going into it. But it was just weird. That's all I can really say, other than that's the only word in my vocabulary for that. So I think that's your weekend cast. T-Bone and I are going to try to do a Monday cast to get it together. It's going to be in the same weird format, because it's just, you know, people that want to run in circles for 140.6 miles. But let's see here. I think that's it. Yeah, I think we're good. I'm Justin.
And I'm Tony.
And Tony is in a drive-through microphone today. So that's a cast.
And
if you do, yeah, and then no more and then. Yeah. All right. We'll see y'all in a bit. Have a great weekend, and see you when we see you.